Go to Romans chapter 1
today.
It is Thanksgiving season, so thought we would take a look at that topic today. Romans chapter 1 is where we'll start. Romans chapter 1. I'm sure you're all there. I'm not there yet. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 reads, "So as much as in me is," this is Paul the Apostle by revelation, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we looked at that last week on the word of life. "For the wrath of God," verse 18, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, very simply put, you just look around you, and you have to come to the understanding that there is a God. God's point is, look, they looked around, they saw all this, and they refused to believe that there was a God. And they have no excuse. Man has no excuse for not believing in God. There's no excuse whatsoever. So the first thing, and you know, we can read, not going to read the rest of this section, but the next verse, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." You know, and the counter to that today is Hebrews says, when you come to God, you must believe that he is. And here in this case, they didn't glorify him as God. You know, and that is, they didn't, so now if you can see, you know, symptoms of this in our culture all the time, you know, evolution and all the other nonsense that's out there, and mother nature and father, whatever, you know. But they glorified him not as God. But, so the first element of this downfall of man was they refused to even come to God and say that he is God. But the second element is right after that, and it says, neither, and were not what?
Thankful.
Neither were thankful. It's interesting that God puts that at such a high level in his word, is they were not thankful. So they didn't believe that he was God, and they were not thankful. So as believers, we must come to God and believe that he is, and we must be thankful. God expects man to be thankful to him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, First Chronicles chapter 16, and we can, you know, there's many, many records similar to this, but I thought I'd look at just a couple. First Chronicles chapter 16. Well, I'm going to have you read a few verses here, if that's okay with you. Before Paul reads, I'm going to read to you from "This Is the Just and the Justifier" by Charles Welch, and I couldn't say it any better, so I thought I would just read it to you from here. Talking about people not being thankful. "As we meditate upon these things, the early apostasy of the Gentile world," which is Romans chapter 1, "takes upon it a more serious character. It is not so much that they were ignorant, but ingrate. God did not look for learning, but he did look for thanksgiving. Science has taught is cold, mechanical, and thankless. When the botanist Linnaeus saw a field of English gorse for the first time, he burst into tears. Herschel, Faraday, and others are, alas, magnificent exceptions. Let us not slip into a godless nomenclature and speak of the laws of nature, but let us boldly and yet humbly glorify God as God and be thankful to the great giver of his gifts by speaking rather of the laws of God. If we would be true Protestants today, God will be in the language of everyday life and not banished to the realm of hymns, prayers, and religious exercises. Mm-hmm. All to say that God and our thankfulness to God is something that we take part in every day of our lives. It's not just something we do. It's the way our heart is towards Him. In 1 Chronicles 16, Paul, if you'll read verses 1 through 12 nice and loud, mm-hmm. That'd be great.
So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also and Jehaziel, the priest with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. And then on that day, David delivered his first psalm to thank the Lord God, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
What a wonderful psalm. Mm-hmm. You know, and what is the whole point of that psalm? To give thanks unto God for what he does for people. Thank him and sing songs unto him. You know, praise God. Verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Mm. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you'll see that also a real pattern in the Word of God is when God's goodness is mentioned, mm-hmm. thankfulness is mentioned right next to it, mm-hmm. which makes logical sense. Mm-hmm. If somebody is good, you should be thankful to that person. Somebody is good to you, you're generally thankful. And the Word God says that God is good. In fact, Jesus said, there's none good but God. And for that, God exhorts us to be thankful. And for 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, this is now when the ark actually was brought into, we just read about where they were talking about the ark. Now here it's brought into the temple. Verse 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver and gold and instruments, and he put them among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Verse 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, and Asaph was mentioned in the section that Paul read as well, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Mm-hmm. It came to pass, even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. What a great mind picture. You know, they were praising God, trumpeters trumping, thanking God for his goodness to Israel. You know, this is just a few verses. There's many verses like this, as we know. But you'll see that, you know, God, throughout history, throughout man's history, instituted memorials many times. You know, in many different ways, God instituted memorials. And why did he do that? You know, why did God institute memorials? For example, like he would ask them to make an altar. You know, make an altar. Why make an altar? You know, and when he told them that Israel was going to go into the promised land, he told them that, look, when you guys get there, you're going to get vineyards you didn't plant, you're going to get houses you didn't build, all this stuff is going to be there for you. And he goes, when you get there, don't forget who gave you this, lest you should say, the strength of my own hand, right, hath gotten me all this. He said, don't forget. When they crossed the river Jordan, they built an altar so they would remember God. They would remember him. See, our thankfulness, we should never stop being thankful to God for everything that comes our everything. You know, how about the Passover, right? The Passover. He said, look, when you guys get there and all this happens and your children say, why are we doing this, Daddy? He goes, well, you remember back in Egypt when God did this and delivered us, so that they would remember, not just remember, but be thankful to him. Circumcision. You know, same of a covenant that God entered into with them. So when they would remember to be thankful to him, you know. So everything that God instituted as memorials, it was Thanksgiving. How about the manna, right? Every day for 40 years, they had a reason to be thankful. And yet, what did Israel do? Jeremiah wrote, "They have forgotten me days without number." And all God said was, "Don't forget me." And what did they do? They forgot him. You know, Isaiah said the ox knoweth his crib and the, what was it? I got that written down here.
Yeah.
You know, owner and the ass is the master's crib. Israel does not know. My people doth not consider. That was Isaiah. You know, various prophets just remind them of a simple truth that they had forgotten God. You know, so it's interesting that the New Testament, Romans, says they didn't believe that he was God and that they were not thankful to God. You know, in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on their feet," and he leaped and walked. Mm-hmm. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Mm-hmm. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. You know. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, "Look," and saying, "Sirs, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce or strained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. You know, what did he do? What did he say? He goes, wait a minute. It's not. He just reminded them of who it was that gives them food and shelter and rain and gladness in their hearts. And they said, oh, okay. He just pointed them to God. You know, people might say to you today, well, why do you thank God for everything? And people have said that, you know, they say, why are you thanking God for this? And why it would have probably happened anyway, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard people told me that? Well, I said, well, why wouldn't you thank God? Who do you think made the heavens and the earth? So everything you have started with Him. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you thank God for everything? Don't ask me why I thank God. Why don't you thank God for things? Mm-hmm. You know? In Acts 17, it's interesting when Paul preaches it. He just reminds me of the simple truth of God. In 17:22, this is when he's in Athens. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious or religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein." There it is. He just said it before. Mm. He says that. What does he remind them? You know, there's a good thing to witness, people. You know, God made everything. Isn't that what he's saying? God that made the earth and all things therein. You know, beyond that, what more do you need? You know, it started with Him. So you should be thankful to Him. Right? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship of men's hands, as though He needs anything. Seeing He giveth the life, all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. We owe Him everything. In fact, the Bible says, only a fool says there is no God. That's not what it says? Yeah. Only a fool. You know, so that's not really how you start witnessing people. You're a fool. You know, but the Word of God does say only a fool would say that there is no God. You know, people say thank Mother Nature or whatever. You know, we're never gonna ascribe that stuff. Thank the earth and thank garbage. You know, only God is the source of all. He's the one who gives life and breath to all things. Psalm 92. Paul, if you'll read verses 1 through 6 again for me.
A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
Told you, only a fool doesn't understand the very basic truth. And here it says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the God. To God. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God. In Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I considered thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, on the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In Luke chapter 1. You know, it's not a false humility or mechanical thankfulness that we're talking about here. You know, you might be tempted, you know, people might think that way, or they might accuse us of that, or whatever, but it's a genuine, you know, the records we're reading in Psalms, and it's a genuine glorying and thankfulness to God for what he has done. It's not just saying, you know, so I was talking to someone the other day, and said, well, you didn't say thank you before you did that. And we're at meals, and usually, you know, even at work, even with the guys, we always thank God for food before we eat. One say we didn't. I said, well, talk to him. You can say thankful, thank you, and not be thankful. You can not say thankful, be thank you, and be totally thankful. It's not the mechanical of saying it. It's yeah, you realistically, you ought to do both. You know, but I thought of all the things we do, you know, and how we could do them. Like the tithing, for example. You know, tithing, is it an obligation or a recognition that it is he that giveth the power to get wealth? Like, do I just give because it's, oh, no, it's not, no. Or is it that it's a recognition of God who gives you the ability to have anything, you know? How about saying grace? I just mentioned that. Is it an obligation or a recognition that God causeth the herb to grow for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth? You know, is that why we say it, or is it, okay, I gotta say it? You know, it's up to you, right? Really. I could have that heartful thankfulness. Yeah, I recognize, God, that you provide everything. That's why I'm thanking you. You know, speaking God's word to somebody. Why do you speak God's word to somebody? Is it an obligation? Or is it, again, a recognition of all that he has done for us and being thankful to him? How about speaking in tongues? You know, is it prayer and praise and thankfulness to him, or is it just an obligation? Oh, you know, the Bible says I should speak in tongues. Well, I guess I'll do that. You know, why is it? It's all up to us. You know, how about prayer in general? Okay, it's my prayer time. I'll go through and I'll do. No, or is it a recognition of God who provides everything for us? A real thankful heart. You know, here it says, I'm going to thank you for the sun and for the night time, I'm going to thank you in the morning, I'm going to thank you, I'm going to praise you, I'm going to talk about you. A verse you read Thursday, James, it's a praise of, was it again? Thy praise shall always be my mouth, right? In Psalms there. Thy praise shall always be my mouth. So when someone tells you, you got real blessed with us, no, well, God bless me. You know, we always honor him because he's the one who provides for us. You know, you might be tempted, just like Israel was, well, the strength of my hand, you know, I have a job and I do this and I figured that you can, you know, yeah, you can go down that road. But we oughtn't to, because God is the source of all that we have. Absolutely. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, the birth of Jesus Christ was surrounded by thankfulness to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Nice people. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, you know, and so forth. Let's go to verse 46. So this was at the birth of John the Baptist. Many shall have gladness. Many shall have joy. And then in verse 46, this is Mary now. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Remember in the Old Testament? "Give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." The greatest mercy he showed to mankind was to have the birth of Jesus Christ. You want to talk about God's goodness and a reason for us to be thankful to him? The birth of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest reasons. Verse 51, "He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." And Jane, will you read verse 67 to 78?
"And his father, Zacchaeus, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." Where did you say to go to?
78.
"In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us."
It's a great mercy and thankfulness and praise to God for the birth of John the Baptist and for the birth of Jesus Christ. People speaking and praising God. Verse chapter 2, verse 8, listen to this. "And there were in the shepherds country, in the country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Verse 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel." All these people giving thanks to God and praising him for the birth of Jesus Christ. Not a lot of people today that are thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ. But look at the way God announced his birth to the world. Be thankful. And they sang praise. The heavenly host showed up. And they sang praises unto God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A few more verses. Just to remind us that all that we have to be thankful for, and the center of that is the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's accomplished. And here's a great example of something he accomplished, which is just wonderful. 1 Corinthians 14, it says in verse 16, talking about speaking in tongues. It says, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Seeing he understandest not what thou sayest, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." Isn't it amazing how in speaking in tongues, God has made it possible for us to give thanks? He must consider it pretty important. You know, it's pretty interesting. And the downfall in Romans, the second thing was they were not thankful. And here God says, you know what? When you speak in tongues, you give thanks well. What a great way for us to just give thanks. Maybe we don't have the words to say to be thankful. Well, God will give us the words to say to be thankful unto him. What a blessing. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. And the context here again is Jesus Christ. Verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, being thankful. Realistically, not a day should go by in our lives when we aren't thankful for all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and all that God has made available to us in Jesus Christ. You know? And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, just a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 1. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and all this stuff, let not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, but instead of all which are not convenient, but instead of all that, rather giving of thanks." You know, if you're tempted to jest or be foolish or unclean or covetous or all these things, God says, well, instead of all that, Jesus, give thanks. There's a good alternative to all those things. Be thankful. Let's go down to verse 10. 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them." Let's go to verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns," not unlike what we just read about in Chronicles and Psalms. "Singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what a great calling to us, giving thanks always for all things. Let's read a couple of verses. Colossians. Sorry, I have to do Colossians too.
Oh, okay. All right,
we'll do it. Colossians chapter 2. I promise we'll close there. Colossians 3. There's just so many verses about being thankful. Colossians chapter 3.
3 or 2?
3, I'm sorry. Verse 12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love of God, "which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, what a wonderful, it really isn't that difficult, is it, either? To give thanks unto God. It's not. God's exhortation to us, right from day one, when God made the heavens and the earth, and you'll see, even Paul reminded those guys, hey, wait a minute, He made all the heavens and the earth. Don't be worshiping and sacrificing us. He made heaven and earth. Be thankful to Him for food and rain and the gladness that He fills our hearts with. And that. And in the Old Testament, David actually appointed people in the temple to praise and give thanks unto God continually. And if you read the book of Revelation, there's many, many mentions in there of people who are continually giving praise and thanksgiving unto God. And that God would now give us Jesus Christ and His birth, and even John the Baptist, surrounded by thanksgiving and praise to God, and then Him giving us the tongues as a way to even thank Him when we don't even have the words to say thank you. You know what? He said, you can still thank me. And then the exhortation to us to be thankful for Christ and all that He's accomplished, that we're to give thanks to for everything and all things whatsoever in the name of Jesus Christ. So we really have much to be thankful for. And so we should be thankful.